Bunker Today is powered by Spin Media. From podcast to video production, visit spinmediadigitalsolutions.com and bring your content to the next level.
Ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. I'm Kev Larame, and I'll be joined by Dwayne Mullins in a second as we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and, of course, help us in our journey to 1,000 subscribers right here on YouTube. Thank you to our podcast listeners. Today it's going to be a fun show, something different in the second half of the show. The first installment of the quiz on Soccer Today, a Canada soccer edition. Dwayne and I will try to stomp each other with 5 questions each, and the winner wins Canada, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong on that, but let's start by saying hello to Dwayne today. Dwayne, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. As we enter into what I, by my calculations, they've been doing recognized international breaks for about 20 years or so. So that's about 140 international breaks that have been taking place in that time. Add about maybe 60 onto that. So we're about the 200th international break since Canada last was in a World Cup. But yet, here's a prop for you folks. Do you see this? We see the rise. This is the Toronto Stars front page of the day that they qualified, or the day after they qualified, obviously. So I'm pumped and ready for the last international break. The last international break before Canada goes to a World Cup again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the last time that we will be talking about preparations, because yes, there's a preparation in November against Japan, but this is the last time before that. Of course, against Japan, it's going to be so close to the World Cup that it will be the World Cup roster there. It's the last time to impress on the roster for players like Ismaël Koné, Joel Waterman, who haven't played in a long time. This will be their time to shine and, of course, surprise John Herdman. Let's look at Canada's schedule heading into this international window. It's going to be an interesting one, and we have 2 matches in this window, and it starts Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. It is in Austria at the Franz Horst Stadium, hosted by Qatar against Canada. It's a 2-match trip in Europe for Qatar. But for Canada, it's their first in 2, and then they're going to Bratislava, where they are stationed. They had a couple days camp there. Now they're in Austria already for Friday's match, and we'll be back to Bratislava for the second match of the weekend of the international window against Uruguay, which is one of the rare occasions Canada has a chance to play against one of the world's elite, truly.
No, absolutely. These are the glamour sort of games that we were excited about, that we get a chance to see Canada play against a team that we routinely see in World Cups that had players like Luis Suarez, of course, in the tail end of his career, but players like that we are used to seeing and seeing it play at the highest level. It's exciting stuff. This Qatar game to me, though, is almost more important. Important is a relative term. We're talking about friendlies here, but in terms of understanding where this team is in its preparation and where it might stand chalk up against the teams in its group, I think there's a real valuable lesson here. Qatar played the Croatian under-23s yesterday. They lost 3-0. So there's a little measuring stick for you. Now, who knows what the competitive level of that game was, but it's certainly something to look forward to. I'm really just looking forward after the last, since they qualified. We've been talking, and we're going to talk more about it, the off-the-field stuff. It'll be just nice to focus on the on-field stuff and get a result that perhaps can drive this team forward to getting a good result in that group stage. Now, we have lots of time to preview what's going to happen in the group stage. I think it's going to be tough to get out of that group, obviously, but we want to be competitive. We want to set ourselves up and do ourselves proud, and I think there's a chance to do that. But I think you got to beat Qatar if you have a chance to get out of that group. If they lose to that Qatar team, I'm going to get panicky before November, I'll say that.
for sure. And, you know, when we're looking at, of course, tomorrow on tomorrow's show, it will be our official preview show. So tomorrow will be the day where we go through our starting 11. We go through the history of Canada. Today, it's more of a getting ready, setting the table, we could say, for the weekend. And we'll talk in a minute about the big or I said not a big update, but the latest update. Then it comes from Rick Westhead from TSN. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But before that, Dwayne, I want to go back in time a little bit and look at the World Cup groups, the Qatar groups, just so that we remember what's at stake and why Canada's getting ready. Belgium, Morocco, Croatia, and Canada. That is Group F. That's where Canada stands heading into the World Cup. Those are the three known opponents that they are getting ready for. Here are the groups here, and with hindsight, now having lived in a world where we know these groups for a while, Dwayne, have you changed your thought on Canada's group? When you look at Belgium, at Morocco, at Croatia, and Canada, today's Canada, with the form of the players of today, with the new young crop of players that appeared out of nowhere from Johnston and more, what do you think of Canada's group now?
I don't think I've changed that dramatically in terms of the first draw. When the draw happened, I thought it was a decent, it was a good draw for Canada because we got to play some a glamour team in Belgium. It's not necessarily a traditional glamour team, but in terms of the last few cycles, it absolutely has been one of those teams that have had a lot of, you know, success and not necessarily winning tournaments, but certainly they have players like Kevin De Bruyne playing at the top level of the game. So that's exciting. Croatia, you know, that's a traditional power since 98 when they came into the World Cup, went to the final, of course, in France, and then Morocco, a winnable game, which I think is an important sort of consideration as well. Look, I think, ironically, that Canada's best chance to win a game in this thing might be the Belgium game. And I say that because of matchups. You know, what do the styles make fights? Is that how they say? Belgium's weakness is at the back. They're a little bit slower. They're a little bit older. This is at the end of a generation. They obviously have some great dynamic attacking players that are going to be a handful, but they obviously will also be on the front foot. Canada will sit back. They will look to absorb. They will look to play the game in the way they played against Mexico and the United States in qualifying. And if they can get that speed and get moving forward, then there's a chance to maybe get something. One thing I'll be really interested to in this window, Kevin, is, you know, I'll maybe rethink my thinking after I see the health of some of these guys. You guys like Tejan Buchanan's been out all fall, basically hasn't played yet. Jonathan Rosario is back in Toronto. That was announced today. We wish him well. It's a very serious sounding injury, a brain injury of some type that he suffered.
It's even more complicated than concussion. It's related to a neurological injury stemming from a big hit. So we hope that he can find ways to be better, hopefully with a World Cup coming.
Yeah, exactly. And not just for the World Cup, but for himself as a person, because a brain injury is scary. But nonetheless, we didn't have health issues really in qualifying. We were pretty lucky. So, Tejan in particular, I think, is a more than Jonathan Rosario, as much as I love him as a player and have a lot of time for him as a longtime TFC guy. Obviously, Tejan and what he does and what he brings and how he takes attention away from Alphonso Davies and allows him to move Alphonso Davies around the pitch, I think is going to be something that they might miss. So hopefully he can get going. They say that he will be okay. Look, it's going to be tough. Let's not blow smoke up our own elbow here. They are the least experienced team in this World Cup. You have the number one ranked team in the world. You have a team that was in the final last time, and Morocco's in its seventh World Cup. It's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. Now, when I look at the other groups, before we continue, and maybe we can look at the Qatar angle, because Qatar will play against Canada this Friday as a friendly at 1 p.m., which, by the way, Friday's show will be tomorrow. Thursday will be our preview show. Friday, no show, because we're going to hype up the preview. And will bring us to next week. As we go to Qatar's group. Group A, Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, Netherlands. And the more I think about it, the more I feel that Qatar got off easy. And, of course, they have naturalized a couple Brazilians. And Dwayne is wearing his Brazilian national team. There's no... Nobody knew we were going to talk about this. It's just it came up. But yeah, so there's a couple of really good players for Qatar that could change the results here and maybe give Qatar a chance to get out of Group A. I wouldn't be surprised if Qatar gets a good result against Senegal. And then Ecuador, to me, that's almost a toss-up. And the Netherlands, you never truly know which version of the Netherlands shows up. Is it the good or the bad version? So Qatar might not actually be as bad as South Africa was in 2010.
Look, South Africa has, I think, well, there's no has, but there's no think about it. I mean, they have been historically the worst performing group stage host that's existed. They're the only ones to not make it out of the group. They did get a draw in their first game. I do recall that. And then it was a big goal, and it was an exciting goal for Africa, and everyone got behind that. Eventually, Africa ended up adopting Ghana in that tournament, much to the Americans' chagrin, because they beat the Americans in there. And, of course, had the Uruguay with the handball and Suarez, speaking of him, second reference today. So we're old talk here. Now, I would have covered that many podcasts ago. Look, Qatar is a weird team to handicap. If this was a year and a half ago, I think you would have been I would have been much higher on Qatar. They were coming out of an Asian Cup win. They won the Asian Confederation Tournament as a guest team. That was something that, or not a guest team, they are from Asia, pardon me. They won that tournament and looked like they were on the way up. Now, since that time, they went to a guest team in South America, were played very poorly. They've lost friendlies. They lost 3-0, as I said, to this Croatian under-23 team this week. It's a team that we don't know a ton about. They have naturalized a few players, not as many as you think. It's more like 80% are Qatari-born and 20% are naturalized.
Yes. And not the other way around, where we figured a few years ago, we'd be like 80% Brazilians and 20% Qataris. No, it's not as bad as we thought.
Yeah, look, I'm wearing the Brazil strip today mostly because laundry, but I actually think that the Brazil might be, they're my pick. They're my early clubhouse leader for my pick to win the World Cup this time.
So, you're not going with Argentina like everybody else? You're like, oh, it's Messi's shot, which I'm like, yeah, Messi and who? Who else? Thiago Almada, who's going to be the game changer for Argentina, you know? But anyways, well, we'll have plenty of time to break down this World Cup. I'm even going to have a baby between then, so. As I caught Dwayne mid-swig. But it is. And, you know, we're going to talk about now the men's national team, because we are talking about them. And there's one issue, Dwayne, that's been in the forefront of the news and our thought process over the last few weeks. And it's the negotiation process with Canada Soccer and the men's national team and the women's national team to that extent for the share of the prize and all that. Rick Westhead has been the spearheader of this reporting for TSN over the last few months. He came up with the story to begin with, and here is the latest from Rick Westhead that is from his website, well, not his website, but the website of TSN, tsn.ca. Here is the article called Men's National Team Waiting for Canada Soccer's Response to Offer, Sources Say. So let's go and read the rest of this article. The men's national soccer team, which doesn't have a contract agreement just 2 months before the World Cup begins in Qatar, is waiting for Canada Soccer to respond to an offer made nearly a month ago. Two sources familiar with the matter told TSN. Representative for the players proposed on August 25th that the men's and women's national teams share equally in an 80% stake of the $10 million US prize money Canada Soccer is set to receive for the men's teams qualifying for this year's World Cup, the sources said. The offer was made during a Zoom meeting 2 weeks after Canada Soccer publicly recognized the Canadian Men's National Soccer Team Players Association as the bargaining agent for players invited by Canada Soccer to train or play for the men's national team. So there is representation now for the player. There is a players association for the men's national team moving forward. And there's a proposal that was done by the men's national team to Canada Soccer late in August. It's now September 21st, and the representation of the men's national team is still waiting for an answer from Canada Soccer.
Yeah, and look, the Canada Soccer Association put a statement out saying the negotiations were continuing in good faith, for the record. So there's no indication that they're going to do what they did in the last cycle. I suspect that the players know that this is too much of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it literally will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for some of these guys that won't be around in 26 to really screw it up now from an on-the-field perspective in terms of not playing. So I don't anticipate another action. But the problem is I'm not willing to say that with 100% certainty, because they're obviously leaking stories like this to TSN reporters because they want to get some pressure continue to put on the CSA. And this is only going to continue to build as they get further and closer and closer to a World Cup. And look, well, the big problem, to repeat this, if you didn't follow us when we talked about this when it first started to break, is that basically the players want this guarantee of the $8 million from the prize money. And it could get more, but the minimum of that they split equally with the women. And the CSA is saying that they can't do that because they have promised their revenues to Canadian soccer business. And that is in the tune of like basically all of it. Like they're all, almost all of the money that the players are asking for has already been allocated to Canadian soccer business. And the Canadian players are saying, why weren't we included in this discussion? The problem with Canadian soccer business, people like you and I, Kevin and I, we knew about this back in the day when it was breaking because it had to do with the Canadian Premier League and basically getting it launched. It is the money that guarantees that league's continued survival. It's why it's more complicated than it's getting portrayed. Like if they just take that money and get rid of that contract, then what does that mean for the CPL? And what does that mean for Canadian development in front? Does that mean that we can have a women's league moving forward? All of these things are on the table when we're having these conversations. So it's not necessarily as black and white as people want to make it out to be, but it is quite unfortunate that the CSA continues to act in what I would describe as a secretive way. They do not embrace openness, and this constantly bites them in the ass. It has for years, and it is now. If they would explain the CB Canadian Soccer Business, CSB, it's hard to get it in my head sometimes. If they were to explain that in plain terms, in candid terms, and they would talk about what it would mean for the Canadian Premier League, then they might get more sympathy for their cause. But they rely on people like us to explain it to people that already understand it. We talk to the hardcore here. I mean, I'm sure there's some new listeners, and thank you for listening. And if I'm teaching you something, then great. But most of our listeners probably understood this already. So they need to be out there in front of this a little bit more, the CSA. And the players, I don't know, the players deserve to get paid. They do. I'm very pro-player when it comes to this. But I also think that there needs to be some kind of understanding that you can't change the past. And what we got to do is find a way to move forward with a little more certainty.
Yeah, and it's also you hold the team itself into a hostage situation, having the World Cup as a bargaining agreement and as a bargaining chip. Those are all the things that are great in the moment and can be seen as great leverage, but are they really going to be on the right side of history either way after this? And is there a way to mend fences before so that you can actually enjoy Qatar? So those are all great ways to view this, but hopefully there's a way that they can agree to make everything work and there's nothing to be said as a hijacking or a strike going on this time around. All the games that are scheduled are going to take place, so maybe that's also a positive aspect of this negotiation going forward. It is now time to take a short break. When we come back, I'm really excited, the debut of the quiz on Soccer Today, the Canada Soccer Edition.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at @SoccerTodaySPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Kevin Laramie here to say thank you to our patrons. They are great human beings supporting us financially at patreon.com/twosolitudes. You see the name on the screen on YouTube and on Twitter live. If you're watching us via podcast, Pierre, Patrick, Martin, Jordan, Ian, Gonzalo, Glad, Dennis, Daniel, Sean, Blue Collar Dan, let's go boys. Thank you all for your support. You can join this group of amazing persons by going to patreon.com/twosolitudes, subscribing to our shout out tier or the super shout out tier, and you will have your name shouted out every single show right here on Soccer Today. It is now time for something that I've been thinking about for a while, but we never really did it something like this, and never, of course, with the production values that we're going to have this time around. It is the first edition of the quiz on Soccer Today. Thank you to all the crowd out there. Thank you very much for coming to the show today. It is a first. Welcome to the studio audience. It is going to be a fun quiz. Dwayne and I trying to stop each other with Canadian soccer questions. And Dwayne, I've been, of course, racking my brains over the last few hours to try to find questions that will stomp you. Would you like to start, or should I start? Well, what do you think?
Well, how about I'll ask the first question. I'm not great at these things, so we'll see how I do. I'm going to start, Kevin, with one from your backyard. I want you to tell me who Canada's opponent was in the first ever international game played at Stade Saputo.
That's a good one. All right. As you can see, I'm not certain. Is the answer Dominica?
No, I'm sorry.
Wait. All right.
Okay. I'll give you a hand if you want to keep going. It is an island. It is one of the smaller islands, and they wear a strip similar to what I'm wearing right now, color-wise.
Is it Curaçao?
No.
That would have been minus one now. This is going to stop this right here.
All right. I'll tell you now. It's St. Vincent's and the Grenadines.
Oh, okay.
And they played. It was the qualifying round to get to the group stage of World Cup qualifying in the, what would it have been, the 2008 cycle. And I remember this game very well because I organized a trip from Toronto to Montreal for Voyageurs to go there. It's the only trip I ever have organized because, oh my God, I know, way over my head. And I know that we have some regular listeners that were on that trip that will agree with me. I remember one of my friends, a good friend of mine now, said to me after, Dwayne, thank you for getting it done. And you did what you had to do. And it was brave to show up the way you did because I had to. Yeah, long story. We won't get into this, but never do that again. And I have not to this day. So that was the first one.
Okay. So this is great. It's all right. That's a great way. It's a great anecdote. All right. And now it is time for Dwayne's first question, which I have some graphics for Dwayne's first question. So here we go. In what year did the Canada's men's Olympic team win a gold medal? Oh, we see that grin, Dwayne. What is your answer?
St. Louis in 1904. There you go.
It is right. You are correct.
You asked me an Olympic play. Come on.
Of course, this was Galt FC in 1904 in St. Louis, the representative of Canada. There was three teams in the Olympic tournament in 1904. Two from the States, one from Canada, and Galt FC, the legendary Galt FC, were the winner. Dwayne, look, I know you don't have the screen in front of you, but we have technology. We can actually have a scoreboard. Dwayne has a point. Here we go. One for Dwayne. All right. Dwayne, it is round number two. I will let you ask me a question.
All right, I'm going to give you a bit of a range here to be kind. So if you get this within, say, 3 years, we'll give it to you. Not Canada's first official game, because that was 1888 versus the U.S., but not official game. But their official recognized FIFA game, what year was it, and what was their opponent?
Ooh, that's a good one.
If you get any part of it, I'll give it to you.
All right, I'll take 10 seconds to think. It's a good one. Who was Canada's first opponent? I'm probably wrong, but I have a feeling and I have an inkling to say Uruguay.
It was not.
It was not Uruguay. Okay.
No. All right. I'll give you a hint. It's a Commonwealth nation.
Okay. So if it's a Commonwealth, Australia.
There you go. Australia. I'll give you a half point for that.
I don't have half points, so I guess we're not going to give me a point.
All right. 1924 was the year.
Okay.
So it was long after, but that has to do with FIFA and recognizing games and all that. But they played Australia, and they beat Australia 2-1 in that game. I don't have the number in front of it, but I believe that is correct.
So no half point, but I'll give myself a small applause. Okay, moving on. Now, Dwayne's second question. Let's go with the next question for Dwayne. And the question is, how many games was the longest undefeated streak for the Canadian men's national teams. 10 seconds on the clock.
It's from this qualifying campaign. It's somewhere around 19 or 20. I'll say 19.
No. It was close, but there was one defeat at the end, and it was mixed in between friendlies. The answer is actually from your time when you were following this qualification process, because it's not the the longest winning streak is this cycle. Yes, that is 8, and that's the longest winning streak. But the longest undefeated streak was 15 games from September 2nd, 1999 to June 4th, 2000. It started against Jamaica on September 2nd, 1999, and it finished against Cuba in 2000. That's the Dwayne DeRosario, Patrice Bernier early in their career. But of course, most of those games were draws. That's why it was an undefeated streak more than a winless streak. But that's okay. All right. It's you're still beating me 1-0 as we move on to round number 3. Dwayne, I'm listening.
All right. I asked you who the first opponent in the first official game at Stade Saputo was. I'm going to go my backyard. Who was Canada's opponent in the first official game at BMO Field?
Ooh. I'm going to go with the science of deduction. Canada's played against a lot of countries often. I would say the United States of America.
It was not, no. You want a hint?
Yes.
All right. Okay, you're on the right track. There is a bit of a trick question here because, of course, the U20 tournament was held there, and there was a friendly against Argentina, but that was an under-20 friendly. The first official game, FIFA game, was a World Cup qualifier against a team that is also wearing a similar color to what I'm wearing right now.
That would be Suriname. I don't know.
Jamaica.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Another one for me. So, I even get this. All right. It's now time to ask Dwayne another question and hopefully stop him so I get a shot to come back in this one. And it is round number 3. Here's Dwayne's third question as we continue. And who has the record for most consecutive games with a goal? I'm going to repeat the question in case Dwayne hasn't heard it. Who has a record for most consecutive game for the Canadian men's national team with a goal? 10 seconds on the clock. All right.
Kyle Lahren.
Yes, that was a kind of a trick question because there's 3 possible answers. Kyle Lahren is one of them. He did it in this campaign. Dale Mitchell did it in the 80s. And Ali Gerba did it in the early 2000s, scoring 4 games in a row for the men's national team. Dwayne has a second point. It is now 2-0. Congratulations. I need to finish strong, and Dwayne needs to be stumped twice to give me a shot to maybe tie this thing. Maybe I'm going to equalize in the last minute.
All right. You ready? So in 2000, famously, Canada won the Gold Cup. It was largely based on the hot scoring streak of a player that came from the second tier, League One of the British system at the time. What was that gentleman's name? The Golden Boot winner from the 2000 Gold Cup. Canada's Golden Boot winner of 2000.
Yes. Yes. I had to dig deep in my souvenirs, but I believed we actually interviewed that player before also in our documentary about the 2000 Gold Cup. If I'm not mistaken, Carlos Corazon.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, 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 yes. Huh. All right, I've got a shot. I've got a shot. All right, let's go with the last, well, the second to last questions for Dwayne. Here we go. Which country has Canada won most often against in history? 10 seconds on the clock.
It's obviously a CONCACAF country. My instincts are saying that it might be the United States because of wins a long time ago. I'll go with that. United States of America.
Yeah, it's okay. It's correct. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bravo. I can't catch up. There's no way for me to catch up. But we're going to finish for honor. And for the last time today, Dwayne, I'll let you ask me a question.
All right. The closest Canada came to qualifying for a World Cup between 1986 and this last cycle, obviously, was the 1994 cycle. I want you to tell me what country eliminated Canada. And well, I'll tell you the details after that if you want. But what country eliminated Canada in the 1994 cycle?
Yeah. I'm not sure about this one, but you know, I don't think it's our friends in Honduras. I think that's the latest one before the one before. But in the mid 90s, that's very interesting. There was a team that was way better than now, and I'll go with Cuba.
No. I'll give you a hint. I'm being a little tricky. Canada finished second in qualifying in 94. They were robbed from the game in Varsity Stadium against Mexico where they would have qualified outright. So they went through the Intercontinental Playoff. So they were playing in the first leg of the Intercontinental Playoff against the team, obviously not from CONCACAF. Does that help you? And as a bonus, they wear strips very similar to mine.
This time it would be Australia.
There you go.
Yay. All right. Dwayne's last question to see if he can make it 4-1, a true spanking. Here we go. You even have a choice of answer here, which we'll see. Maybe I won't give it. It'll be too easy. But no, I'll give you the choice of answer. Here is question number 5 for Dwayne. How many caps did Patrice Bernier get in his career? 36? 46, 56, or 26? And your answer.
What was the third option? Was it 56 the third option?
Yes.
I'm going to say 56.
Congratulations. You have won, and you get a chance to spin the wheel. Here we go. The spin wheel prize will tell you what you win. It's a big zero. No prizes for Dwayne, unfortunately. Right. But, you know, yeah. We had fun. This was fun. Would you like more quizzes? Let us know which topic we should do next time.
Fair enough. I'm pretty good. I have a very... an advantage over you because I'm older than you and
yes, and of course you took questions that were before my time, but that's okay. I thought mine were tough, but you know, we'll make them a little tougher because it finished 4-1. This was not even close.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I've lived Canadian national team for a long time, and it's exciting since I have lived Canadian national team to be able to talk about a game against Qatar on Friday. I'm really interested to watch this one play out. You know, the women surprised us at the Olympics, to say the bloody least, So I don't know. The men can get to, I don't want to overinflate the possibilities here, but I think that they can, if they play well, I think we can be proud of what they're going to do in Qatar. And it's going to start with the game against Qatar, where hopefully they get another W and can move forward into that World Cup time. Get two more games after that to play. Japan and when they're over there, and Uruguay, which is an exciting game to play.
Exactly. And of course, we will be breaking down this game of Qatar versus Canada next week. But tomorrow on Thursday, tomorrow will be our preview show for the Qatar-Canada game. We'll break down Canada's roster. We'll even look at Qatar's roster. I will break down the best players to keep an eye on for Friday's match. And until then, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute. You can follow myself at Kev Larmé. And you can follow this show at Soccer Today SPN. If you would like to follow the podcast is available everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. And we will invite you to subscribe to the YouTube page or YouTube channel. Click on the subscribe button and make sure you click on that notification bell also. That's your homework for today. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and help us continue to be able to broadcast this way and bring you production values and scoreboards for our quiz shows. And if you're watching via podcast, thank you for subscribing and for your support. As always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kev Larmé. And until next time, we hope you enjoy this show. And until tomorrow, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.